Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Globally Ballin' podcast. This week we're going to revisit the basketball league, TBL. We're going to look at a new area of the league that we haven't looked before, Louisville, Texas, just on the outskirts of Dallas, and we're going to talk with the two people in charge, the married couple of Mathis Crowder and Dr. Shira Ackerman. Together, the power couple has created something awesome in Louisville, and they're going to kind of describe that. I don't want to take that away from them, but I do want to point out that one of the keys that we look at in this episode is the construction of a new arena that they're building. So I've always kind of wondered, I'm thinking back to when it really started, but I feel like there was a time when I started watching Sunday afternoon football, and you'd get the pregame before the game, right? And the guys talking around their table or whatever, and everything you see now, there's logos everywhere of companies. It's advertisements everywhere, which is understandable. You get a lot of ad revenue. Why wouldn't you? That kind of thing. But to me, I don't know what you think, to me it felt like it takes away from the atmosphere of what I'm watching. I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I think that definitely that truth does translate to when you're playing in a game in an arena. Let me give you an example. So a minor league team of any sport plays in a stadium. Oftentimes they don't have their own arena. Now when you look at things like indoor football, a lot of times they'll have their logo all over the place because they share arena with maybe a local minor league hockey team or whatever, and so they lay their turf down and their turf has their logo. That makes total sense. But if you take things like a professional volleyball or a professional basketball, they're not replacing the court. So a lot of times, and especially in like an ABA, but in other leagues as well, and TBL is no exception, a lot of teams will use a court that's already there. Maybe it's a community college, maybe it's a college, but because of that, they don't really have their team logo on it. And that seems like a minor thing, but I challenge you to do me a favor, and this place gets mentioned. Google the Armory of Albany. It's where the Albany Patroons of TBL play. They play in the Armory of Albany. That thing is exactly what I'm talking about when anybody, or when I mention anything about your stadium matching what's being played. The Albany Patroons are playing basketball in the Armory, and when you go in, everything's Albany. The colors, you see the green, you see the yellow, you see the white. the stadium, or right on the court, obviously. It's a big Albany Patroons logo. You got the banners hanging. It feels like everything in there is about Albany. You're not going in to Albany Community College and watching a team called the Patroons play. Now, not to take away from teams that can't afford their own stadium, but that's not necessarily their fault. It's just, I think they'd all agree that they want their own stadium because of this, because of when they want people to walk in and feel that they're there to watch that team and feel that experience. The other thing about the Armory of Albany is it holds about 3,600 to maybe 4,000 people, which means in a good TBL game where they play, if you get 2,000 people in there, you're over halfway. You're over halfway, and you got a great feel to it. You don't have 15,000 extra seats. You don't have tarps covering the upper deck. You have a stadium with your logo everywhere. The feel of your team, your brand, everywhere, and at least half the stands full. That's an amazing feeling. Now, rewind 20 or 30 years, and you begin to understand why they had the stadium they did. They were a big piece of the CBA, the Continental Basketball Association, from 1982 to 1992. And as that, the CBA grew and became huge in sub-NBA context, it became huge in that sense. They had their own stadium made, which made sense. And so now that remains, and now the Albany Patroons can play there, and everything about it says the Albany Patroons. That's a big deal for everybody, for the players that know who they play for and feel who they play for the fans who know and feel who they cheer for. Everybody else associated knows exactly who that stadium represents, who it's about, and it completely changes the feel of an arena. And the feel of an arena, ask any player, ask any fan, any coach, any announcer, the feel of the arena is huge. Now, this episode is not about the Albany Patroons. It's about the Louisville Yellow Jackets of TBL. We're going to talk about a lot of different stuff, but one of the main parts of the episode is them talking about their new stadium. And that's why I just talked about Albany and all that stuff, because new stadium is huge. They're going to give you the details, which is really cool, about their new stadium and how it works. But so on the one hand, it's awesome because it allows you to put your brand and logo everywhere, and you get to control that feel, which is huge and a massive advantage, I'll add. And the other thing, though, is getting a new stadium points to the fact that the community is behind you. Dr. Ackerman's going to talk about how we know this is the case with Louisville, but it certainly is, because stadiums aren't coming out of the pockets of individuals. Instead, it's usually a community effort, and so it's a suggestion that the community is behind you a great deal. And again, Dr. Ackerman's going to talk more about that. That being said, enough intro. Please enjoy our interview with Coach Crowder and Dr. Ackerman as we talk about the Louisville Yellow Jackets of TBL. Please enjoy. Thank you.
Good morning,
how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So I have Mathis here too. We're both here.
Oh, awesome. That's perfect.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
So yeah, last time I talked, the season wasn't canceled, so everything got a little bit different here in the last week or two.
That's true.
All right, so a couple of things we wanted to talk about. One is just the basic about the league, of course, and then you guys, and then your newest kind of addition in the news, or what I was talking about. So let's start off with just introducing who you guys are and what you do.
Okay, Dr. Sharon Ackerman, I'm the co-founder and co-team market owner for Creating Young Minds and the Louisville Yellow Jackets.
Coach Mathis Crowder, basketball operations, and co-owner of the Louisville Yellow Jackets.
Okay, and Louisville Yellow Jackets, a member of TBL. How long have you been a part of that league?
This was our inaugural season, so first year.
And what were you guys doing before that?
We have our own nonprofit organization, Creating Young Minds. Mm-hmm. And so for the last just about 9 years now, we've had a basketball academy for high school and postgraduate young men looking to earn scholarships to go to college and play basketball.
So give me a little bit more detail on what your kind of goal was for that nonprofit.
Our objective was always to help young men get up get access to opportunities they wouldn't have had otherwise. So we started with helping guys have more success in high school so that they had good grades, positive experiences, because a lot of our guys, when we started, they didn't have really good grades in high school because they didn't have a lot of success in school in general. And so they weren't in great environments for that. And so when we started our academy in Texas, we brought a lot of guys from out of state, primarily from Washington, which is where we first lived, Washington State. And we helped the guys figure out they could be successful in school. We worked with a local charter school, and almost all of our guys were getting straight A's in school. And so they were having a lot of success. And then with basketball was the easy part for Mathis, because once he got them to buy in and understand what they needed to do, they were really able to develop on the basketball end. And we were able to earn lots of scholarships for our guys. Over the years, we've had probably 70 plus, probably closer to 80 of young men getting college scholarships on all levels across the country to go play basketball. Because we've been doing this for so long now, we have lots of college graduates, guys that have graduated in 3 years with 3.7s and up, but they didn't have a lot of success on the basketball end. And the reason for that is the way the political system works with college sports. Our guys were never ranked, they didn't have stars. So when they earned college scholarships, they were the good kids, right? Our guys stayed out of trouble. They did what they needed to do in the classroom. They worked harder before practice, after practice. They were low maintenance. So they became the face of the program as opposed to the ones that got to play, because they weren't the part of the high recruiting class for any of their schools. So the way that usually works is the highest recruiting class kids are the ones that play. The ones that aren't part of that, you know, they really don't get as many opportunities. So over the years, we had lots and lots of phone calls late at night with our guys very frustrated, because what we taught them was the harder you work, the more it pays off. And even though that's that's a great idea, it doesn't really work when it comes to college sports. So we had to keep our guys motivated and tell them that this is going to help them in life. You know, if you can get through this, then you're going to be very successful outside of this. But we decided over the last couple of years, we wanted another option for our guys, because we have lots of guys that really can play on the professional level. We just were trying to figure out how to get them that opportunity so that we could bypass the college system, where they still would get their education, just do it online as opposed to going to college, because you don't need to anymore. And then they don't have to deal with the mess of college sports. And then they would have control of their academics and be able to study what they wanted to study and complete their degree instead of having someone dictate it for them. So that's what led us to the TBL.
So I know you guys enough to know your background a little bit. For the people listening, why is the U2 as a combination work so perfectly for basketball and college education?
Well, I don't know I would say perfectly, but I have my PhD in behavior analysis, and I have 20 plus years as an educator from preschool all the way through graduate school. So I have a lot of experience working with kids of all ages, of all levels, and you know, behavior is behavior. It doesn't really much matter what shape it comes in, whether it's a preschooler or a 20-year-old young man. And I played college basketball, and so I know basketball. And so when Mathis and I met, it really was a good match. And so now he can give you his background as to why he's the other half of the coin.
We work good together because basically, I'm be honest, I'm a dreamer, I'm a visionary. Physical therapy, I was a physical therapy assistant for over 10, 11 years. You know, I worked in the nursing field. I work with a lot of people. I'm very good with people. I learned how to be very social. I come from nothing. I come from the mud, the gutter. It was very poor. I chopped cotton. You know, I watch on the movies, I chopped cotton, so I know what hard work is. It taught me how to be relentless and be after. So what I teach the young men in the program is learning how to be relentless. When we, prime example, when we work out, I teach them you don't stop until your body says stop. And then when your body says stop, you don't stop. It's all about doing it and doing it until you can't do it anymore, until you have nothing left in the cup. But with me, it's just more, I was in the physical therapy field for 11 years, played basketball my whole life. I got offered scholarships when I was 18, 19 years old, but I didn't do it because I was so poor. So I had to go back to school. I went back to school to be a physical therapy assistant when I moved to Seattle, Washington. And, you know, I had to take care of my mom, you know, financially, take care of her, take care of me, you know, so it's just life, you know, and I couldn't go to college because I had no, college don't pay you to take care of you. They just pay you to play sports. So it was more where, and then I met Shira years down the road. And, you know, I know she was the one. I know right then she was the one. Now we met strangers. When we first met each other, we got to argue with each other. It's the funniest thing ever. But after that, I know she was the one. You know, like I said, you know, I'm the visionary, I'm the dreamer. And then I come to her with it and I say, you know, and I know this sounds crazy because people don't believe it. Some people don't believe it. I tell her I had a vision, you know, we should do this, this, this. And then she looks at me and we'll go back and forth for about a day or two. Sometimes she just do it on the instant, but sometimes it's 2 or 3 days, a week. Okay, we're going to do it. But once I have the vision and the dream, and there's a lot of things in my mind that goes on that I get in my mind and in my, that I be thinking in my dreams and visions, that I know something's going to happen before it even happens. It's crazy. It sounds crazy. And then I go to my Shira, and I tell her about it, and she listens. She go, yeah, yeah, I think that's going to be true. And then 2-3 days later, it happens. And we just talk about it. She's like, yeah, it happened. You know, a lot of things, it's crazy because a lot of things that's going on now, I knew that was going to happen. I told Shira about it. And it's hard for me sometimes when something is giving to you in your mind, and then you got to be careful who you tell it to, because sure, people think you're crazy. So, like prime example, like the TBL. TBL is going to be amazing. I think it's going to blow up. I think it's going to be one of the best leagues in the United States within the next 3 to 4 or 5 years. I think it's going to grow. I think it's going to be something. It's just going to be like Major League Baseball, you know, AAA, AA. It's going to be that counterpart to the NBA. So, like I said, with us, I'm more of the visionary, dreamer, and Shira's more of the, she just organized and put everything together. She orchestrates it and put it intact and put it together, and then it's amazing, I guess.
I have a question about this, a little bit of timing question. So you had guys before you were in TBL graduating your program, I think, and going on to college to play, and they were calling back to you. They're frustrated, they worked really hard and they weren't getting their time, and you started to either realize this issue, or did you kind of already know this is an issue beforehand?
We know the politics of basketball. If you don't have no stars, or you're not with this certain clique, you're in trouble. You're the kid that keeps a good, you know, I had college coaches call me and say, you know, I need a good kid, good grades, work hard. And, you know, we always have that. We have most of our kids, magna cum laude, summa cum laude. And, I mean, we already know it, but then it just got worse. It got worse, and then we couldn't do it no more. So then a lot of our kids that graduated, we was looking for them to go pro. We was talking to the NBA, we was talking to the G Leagues, we was talking to everybody around the world. This was last summer. We was working hard. And then we finally got, you know, I'm real close with Bob Hill. He's a great man, good man. You know Bob Hill, don't you?
Who's he with?
He's coached in the NBA for over 30 years. Coached Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
Oh, I know of him. Yeah.
Okay. He coached David Magley at Kansas. Yeah. So, you know, me and him became really good friends. He's a good person. And then we found out about the TBL. We wanted to send some of our players to the combines. And then, you know, we was talking to David about it, and Mr. Magley about it, David Magley about it. We was trying to, and he was talking, Cheryl was talking, contacting Evan Magley. And we was trying to get some contacts to get our boys in the combine so they can play professional. And so next thing you know, we end up talking with Bob Hill was coming in working on my boys all the time. So Bob Hill, I told him about David. He said, oh, I love David Magley. I coached him, did it. I said, we said, we know. And so then all of a sudden, David Magley and Bob Hill end up connecting, and Bob recommend us to David. We had already been talking to David and Evelyn Magley. And then I talked to Bob, and he was like, he was trying to put everything together. And so next thing you know, Mr. Magley came down here, and he walked in the gym, and he was fascinated, and he wanted all the boys. We know how college basketball is. We was frustrated all through the years. We know the politics, but it gets to a point where you get tired of it. And we know it's the same thing with professional. is politics in that.
So you said you, you know, felt the politics issue in college, and then you even said a little bit in professional just now. Have you, how has TBL felt for you guys year one?
It's been amazing for us. We love, it opened way more doors for us to the NBA, the NBA G League. Now the NBA teams and the NBA G League and the NBL Australia, Europe, these other leagues are talking to us like normal now.
Have you had, there's been a couple of teams that have shipped some people over. Like we mentioned briefly in the beginning, it was a shortened season like many other seasons around the world. But were you able to get anybody out somewhere else for the season or not?
You saying to another other leagues? No, we had the youngest team in the league. So our goal was not to get people out and get them to another league.
Okay.
Our goal was to develop, because we're the age from 18 to 25.
Okay.
So our goal was to get them developed, to get them better, and shoot for the stars. Our first goal was NBA, NBA G League. The next goal was NBL Australia. The next goal was Europe, the first and second league in Europe, EuroLeague. And our next goal was NBL in Canada and CEBL. Those were our goals. The other leagues, those weren't our goals, I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay. And then, but the way the league is structured, and David always calls it a showcase league, and they're always open for these players leaving, although it may not have been your goal and you had the younger guys, had a player been offered to go somewhere, you would have been thrilled to let him go, correct?
Yes, but it would have been in the right situation because they're young. They're not older. A lot of the guys that's signing and going places, they're older and they already have professional experience. Where these guys, I'm not sending no 18, 19, 20-year-olds to anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you got to be cautious with that, because parents going to say, oh, I want to go, because, you know, but the other guys that's in their 20s is different than sending an 18, 19, 20-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, briefly, I want to look at what you think the effect on the shortened league had on TBL teams, and just briefly on leagues around. I want to quick get your insight on that. We're going to move on a little bit to specifics.
Well, I think that, you know, for our league, much like every other professional sport, I think, you know, it's a difficult decision for every professional league to make. It's an obvious decision to make, but that doesn't mean that it's an easy one.
Sure.
You know, everyone, you have to think about your players, your families, your fans, your communities, and everyone's safety before you think about everything else, you know. And I think that, you know, some of the other leagues that had to make decisions, you know, they have a lot more money at stake, right?
Yeah.
Not to say that the TBL doesn't have money at stake, but it's not at the same magnitude, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about millions and billions of dollars being lost when the TBL has to shorten its league, its season. But, you know, when you think about people versus money, you know, you have to always put people first. And, you know, I think what's going to be challenging for the teams in the TBL and the league in general is to continue the buzz, you know, continue making sure everybody knows about the TBL and that the players and the teams and the owners and the coaches are gearing up towards next season, even though that seems like a really far way away. But make sure that the communities don't forget about the teams. Because if the communities forget about the teams, then when we get to next fall, everyone has to start over. And, you know, that's going to be the challenging part. I think for us, it's a little easier than the other teams because we're set up differently. You know, we still have all of our guys here. We're still practicing and working out, and we're still in the community as much as we can be right now. And we're trying to make sure that Louisville is as involved in us, whether we're playing or not playing. And because we have the younger guys, we still have the attention of the NBA and the G League and the, you know, NBL Canada and Australia and the CEBL, because they were interested in our younger guys. And so now, since everyone's sitting at home and on their computers and on their phones, on the internet, we now have the ability to keep everybody's attention. So I think that that's the challenging part for all the leagues, is to make sure that they don't lose their community support, because people can't see them, even though you still have access to everyone on the internet. It's every league's responsibility to kind of make sure that everyone remembers about their teams and their players and their community impact and what they've been doing, what they're going to do when the season starts again, especially for the NBA, you know, and Major League Baseball and hockey and soccer and the football, you know, XFL, all of those leagues, they need to keep everyone talking about them, not talking about that they can't watch them play.
It's true. So you were talking about your community. You briefly mentioned community in the sense that the internet is out there and watching and things like this. But TBL also really focuses on getting teams out into their local community. And you're in the greater Dallas area, right? I don't want to shortchange Louisville, but that's basically what it is. Yes?
Yes, we are right outside of Dallas in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, DFW.
Okay. And what was your experience with the Yellow Jackets getting out into the community, your local community specifically?
Well, we had a lot of success. You know, the great thing about Louisville is there isn't a lot in Louisville. So when we announced that Louisville had its first professional basketball team, the feedback was great. Everybody was excited because what most people don't know is, I don't even know how many years ago, but the Dallas Mavericks were talking to Louisville about building their arena here.
Really?
And the people that were in charge in Louisville, the current county commissioner was the mayor at that time. And we, some of the councilmen that we now have good relationships with, were also part of the city government. But there were other members of the city government that turned it down, and the community turned it down. And the reason they did is because they thought, you know, it was going to be too big. It wasn't going to be good for Louisville, when in fact, that would have been huge for the community. So now that Louisville has its second opportunity to have a professional team and to help us build an arena here, everyone's jumping on it because they feel like they missed the first opportunity, which would have been game-changing for the city of Louisville.
What a perfect segue into our last little topic we want to talk about, and that is your new stadium coming to Louisville.
Yes, we are, because we've met some really important people here in Louisville, and they're very excited about us, and they love our guys. You know, it's one thing to be excited that there's a professional team, but when we bring our guys into the community and we're out and we're giving gifts to senior citizens, and we're at the chamber meetings, and we're at the local bank meetings and reaching out to the community, our community gets to learn who our guys are. And just like our guys in the academy, we have the good guys. You know, we have the nice, respectable, polite, well-mannered, well-educated young men who just happen to be very talented in basketball, but the community embraced them and they love our guys. So that by itself got everyone excited that, well, it's not just a team that we have to worry about who these guys are running around in the community. This is a team that they want to embrace. And so we started talking to the city and said, you know, what we've wanted to do for the past 2 or 3 years is build our own facility. And, you know, Mathis and I have talked about that before we even moved to Louisville. That was one of the things we were going to do, because getting courts and gym time, it's just very difficult. So to have your own really kind of ends that issue. And so we've been talking to the city. We've been talking to the people in charge of the, oh my goodness, I can't remember his title, the development here in the city, because the economic development in the city, because Louisville has been, yes, Jason has been doing they have a lot of initiatives. 2025 is the one that they're working on now. They're rebuilding Old Town. They're doing a lot of building to grow the city and increase the economic situation here in the city and for people who work here and live here, and lots of growth in Louisville. So our timing is perfect. So we've been working with the city to find the perfect spot for them to help us build our new arena so that we can be ready for the 2021 season. And we've had a lot of really great meetings. We've been able to look at some blueprints and ideas of what we want to do. And the city is completely behind us. So even though the season ended early, it actually gives us more time to start fundraising for that and get the community excited, because they can't come see us play, but they can definitely get behind us in building what's going to be very exciting for Louisville. And we're not going to build something big. You know, we want to keep it around 2,000, 2,500 seat arena. And that's why, you know, the information we had put out is the comparison to the Washington Avenue Arena in Albany, where the Patroons play. That is the perfect size. You know, it's 3,500 seats in that arena, but the history that comes with it and the environment and the way it's built and the way it looks is exactly what we would want our place to look like. And so, you know, it was perfect timing that we actually got to make that trip before the season was ended so that we could experience it ourselves and get to look around and see what we would like to do and how we'd like to build our own. And one of the things that we're going to have as part of our arena is there's going to be, you know, classroom space so that we can do, you know, after school activities with kids and tutoring programs. There's going to be obviously a fitness weight room so that we can do all of our training with our guys. And we're going to have a space for our chiropractor, you know, our team chiropractor through the structural management program so that he could have his own clinic right there where we are. And, you know, possibly have some space that maybe, you know, one of our sponsors could have, you know, a restaurant open, you know, like Jet's Pizza, who's our biggest sponsor. And he was our first, Rob Dupree for Jet's Pizza here in Flower Mound. So the, you know, what we want to do is build something that the community can really be part of. And so it's not just going to be a gym with a court. You know, we want businesses to be involved. We want them to be able to have space in our arena so that it's something that involves the community, not just a building that's here, that it's just the Louisville Yellow Jackets and Creating Young Minds Academy.
How important is it? You know, I'm glad you mentioned the Armory where the Patroons play, because that is a perfect example. It does seem like they just literally built it for that. And if you know the history of the stadium, it makes more sense. But when you walk in and go in, what's wonderful, I think, and I think you'll take this with you, is that it says Albany Patroons everywhere. It's not, you're not walking into the community college. You're not walking into something that's played by 100 other people, but it's yours, which is great, because then you can add your classrooms and everything else about it. But it feels, it's got the feeling and culture inside of it that belongs to you and your team.
Exactly. And that's what we want. You know, we want our guys, and our guys are always going to change. You know, it's not so much the TBL team. It's, you know, since we've been doing this, you know, with Creating Young Minds, we've had so many guys come in and out of the program that, you know, even so much adding the TBL team, what we've always told guys when we were talking about having guys come to try out for our team was, we're not a professional team, we're a program. You know, there's so much more to what we do than just the Louisville Yellow Jackets. So, you know, to have a place that every group of young men that come have a place that's their home court, you know, a place that they get to train and develop and grow as young men, and a place that they really have an impact on the community. You know, the kids and businesses and, you know, senior citizens and whatever it is, that they are now part of the city of Louisville. And that, you know, we really do want to have that kind of history that you feel when you walk into the Armory, you know, 20 years down the road, so that when you come into our arena, you get that sense that there's real history here, and it has an impact on the community that's so much larger than just a professional team.
Awesome. Is there anything you think we didn't cover that you'd like to add about either Creating Young Minds or the team or TBL or anything like that?
Anything you want to add? Well, he can't hear.
Well, basically that, you know, like we talked about earlier, we're doing the Euro model. You know, Creating Young Minds is a high school prep school, and we're doing the Euro model. You know, some guys can go to college, some guys can go pro. So that's why we bought the TBL team. We give these guys those options that they can have. And so I think that's the biggest thing, that people know the options you could have coming to this program. Now, we're very structured. We're very strict. We want everybody successful. That's why we're very structured. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of young men make it, and a lot of young men don't, because it's a lot of structure. So that's one thing everybody need to realize when trying to come to the, when people find out about how structured we are, they go, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. No, you know, we're trying to help you go far in life. It's just not about basketball. It's about life and mentorship and teaching you how to be a better man, how to be a better man in the community. How could you help the community when you get old? You know, plant that seed.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys very much for taking the time. I know you're busy with people still around, but thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All I'll confess, there's another reason why I made sure I was able to interview Coach Crowder and Dr. Ackerman, and that's when me and my team went to TBL Combine and Draft in Indianapolis right before the season started, that was the weekend of their draft, right before the season started. We did interviews with people affiliated with all the teams. And one of our interviews, obviously, then was with Coach Crowder and Dr. Ackerman about the Louisville Yellow Jackets. We turned off the mics because we thought we were done. And we ended up sitting there and talking for like another half hour about that politics of college basketball that Coach Crowder was talking about. We sat and talked about that because I had no idea. I've said many times before, I'm here to learn and relay information to you. That's why I have an interviewee every episode. By the way, you can find that interview where unfortunately the mics were cut off earlier than in hindsight they should have been on our Patreon page, patreon.com/globallyballin, or just searching Globally Ballin on Patreon, and you can subscribe and find that with the Louisville Yellow Jackets. But so I sat there and listened for several minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and just was dumbfounded. I'd never heard that before. After that, we started having our lists and, you know, requests sent in about who people want to hear from, that kind of stuff. I realized we need to again hear from Dr. Ackerman and Coach Mathis. And then the stadium thing broke. It's like, oh, this is perfect timing. So that's a lot of why we heard from them. Also, they're amazing people. I got to meet them in person on a couple of occasions, and they are wonderful people. And so I think you can tell by some of the things they're doing and their goals and everything, and just hearing them talk, I think that's pretty obvious, but they're wonderful people. So I had to make sure I got them in an episode. And so I hope you got a lot from it. If you have any questions, you can always shoot Globally Ball on a message on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are the most active on Instagram and Twitter. Not to say Facebook we're not, but if you go to Facebook, it won't look as active as Instagram and Twitter, and we realize that. And so Instagram and Twitter, everything's just concise and quick. It's proven to be our best way of communicating. So if you want to get a hold of us, have any questions, you want more information about the Louisville Yellow Jackets, or you want to communicate with them, let us know. Or you can communicate with them directly. But if you need another hand or just questions for us, shoot us a message on Twitter or Instagram or both. And that's really the fastest way to get a hold of us. That being said, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you to you listeners. You make it all very possible. Go check us out on all the platforms. If you haven't followed us on Twitter, go ahead and do that. If you haven't followed us on Instagram, go ahead and do that. Again, like the page on Facebook. That is a different style of content, but go ahead and give us a like on Facebook. And in addition to that, go ahead and check us out on Patreon. We're really excited about our Patreon page that we started, patreon.com/globallyballin again, or you can search globallyballin at Patreon. It's a subscription base. The low rate is $3 a month, and that will get you a bunch of other content, a new program we started called Candid Conversations, where it's me talking with a bunch of different people that don't fit in an episode for whatever reason. It's more candid, hence the name Candid Conversations. And so go ahead and check that out. At least give it a shot if you're interested. And you're going to find a lot of insight. Included in that are all of our interviews from the draft combine of TBL this past year. So every team except Owensboro, because they were going through some staff changes, we couldn't really get a good interview. There wasn't really anyone there representing the team nearly as much as the other team. So we have interviews, and sometimes there's two for a couple teams, including a new expansion team in Little Rock. We have interviews with all of them. So go ahead and check that out. Plus, I think we're at three Candid Conversations are up there. A figure skater from Asia who won a medal. A player from TBL. We just chatted with him for a bit. And one of our Asian sports experts we talked with. So that's just more stuff for you to listen to, more stuff for you to check out. Go ahead and check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/globallyballin, or searching Globally Ballin on Patreon. Again, check us out on all the other platforms. We appreciate all of your support. We're here to serve you. We truly are. I don't know much. That's our public stance. I'm here to relay information the best I can and as honestly as I can. So any suggestions, shoot them to us. I've talked way too much. Thank you all. You'll hear from us again next week. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin, you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested, and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.